Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. Albeit from now until further notice, that is sometimes around next week, it will just be we are back to you and me, just you and me. So good afternoon wherever you're tuned in from. Thank you for tuning in to Eagle FM, and this is Home Run with Helmut. And I will be here until the hour of six. You know, they're just the standard home run time. Just breathe. It's life. Whatever is happening, it happens. Call it occupational hazard of being alive. Things just happen. Sometimes you did not expect to be investigated by the ACC. Next thing you know, bam. Boss Noah is there. Like, we found a questionable stamp on one of your documents that's coming from Minister of Finance. How did you get it? It's only supposed to be in the hands of blah, blah, blah. Now all of a sudden we are missing all your Christmas and New Year. Everything is ruined, including those ones that depended on you for, well, to finance or more like to bankroll their festive season. So, that's not what we are here to talk about, though. Just, that's just, me reminding you, not telling you. We know these things. Sometimes we just, forget that in life things happen, especially when it's happening. I think that's why we need friends to remind us when things are happening, because it's very easy to forget when you are deep in that abyss. Why is it only happening to me? Oh no, not just you. It happens to a lot of people. But for some reason, when you are in that dark abyss, it's very easy to feel like it's only happening to me. Well, that dark abyss is one that, South Africa was from the 22nd to the 23rd of November, where actually it's a, it's basically, I'd go as much as calling it from as early as it was, pointed out that South Africa will be hosting the G20 2025 summit. And now, the tension between the U.S. and, the tension between the U.S. and South Africa just, somewhat zoned in onto that event, the closer the date was, the closer the date was getting. And when, things were escalated even during the time of the event. Now, which I think was actually very inexemplary coming from leaders, not just any leaders. These are supposedly, I'm saying supposedly because, I'm one of those people that, that still maintain to these days that, politicians don't have a lot of power. Their campaign contributors have all the power. Convince me otherwise on that one. The history of politics. In medieval England, they had kingmakers and then he had the king. The real power was wielded by the kingmakers, aka a bunch of guys that basically financed a bunch of, the king's quote unquote agendas on all that crap. And in ancient Japan, if you can call it that, they had the demios that basically had all the power. And then you had the emperor there who was like, I am powerful. And the day, is it the daimyo? I always mispronounce that word. Those were the guys with the real power. Like, they have the power, but they don't like the spotlight. So they just sponsor someone who likes attention and then put them whether in a presidential position, prime minister position, king, queen, blah, 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 you name it, put them in there. And as long as you do what we tell you to do, you are not going to suffer a massive headache that John F. Kennedy suffered somewhere in Dallas, Texas back in the 1960s. I'm so glad we're not in the U.S. when I'm saying all that crap. So, the pettiness, during the G7 summit was one that, this is the part where I would say, I expected, especially in relations to the U.S. president. And, I know this is why I started with more like where the real power resides. It's very easy to argue that the tension between South Africa and the U.S. quickly went sky high with the Israel-South Africa ICC case. And during this G20 2025 summit that was hosted in Joburg, South Africa. The tit for tat, more like the, the juvenile mentality in terms of, in terms of conduct coming out, coming from world, the so-called world leader was very embarrassing because, now I was there as a comedian looking at this, even now I'm a comedian, mind you, just, I'm sitting there going like, are these guys serious? Like, you have to understand, people queued up to vote for these guys. That's the best they can do when it comes to conducting themselves. Now, they just basically went to extreme length to sort of like try to taint South Africa's reputation in order to deter a lot of G20 members from attending, basically on a basically tarnishing your reputation on a global stage, on a global stage. That's turns out it's not new. It's politics 101. So, with that out of the way, bravos to South Africa, because despite all the pettiness that was coming from the US for the most part, and Argentina joined a little bit in some way the later stage of the event. The US president didn't even show up. Now, mind you, the outgoing president, every time a country hosts an event, the outgoing president have to hand over a gavel, that wooden hammer thing. You give it to the next guy that will be hosting the event the following year. Now, next year the G20 is taking place in the US. I think that's in Florida. So South Africa was supposed to have, this leader to leader, aka president to president handover type of ritual, call it a ritual, that they do at every G20 summit. Now, the US decided to send one of their low-level diplomats to meet Cyril Ramaphosa as, I think, in an attempt to humiliate South Africa as, well, you are a whole president, but we just decided to send one of the secretaries who pulled out of a basement somewhere from the rural areas. And South Africa was like, well, okay, look, if the president is not coming, I'm not handing over as Ramaphosa. I'm not handing over this gavel to a low-level diplomat, because according to the protocol of the G20 summit, I'm only required to hand it to a nation's leader. And, well, I was there going, so this event, they are now, you have to understand, there are 21 members in this, in this forum. There are 21 members. You have 21 countries and two, call them intergovernmental organizations. So that's the African Union and the European Union, making it 21. The European Union, European Union was there from the beginning of the G20 founding back in 1999. The African Union was only admitted back in 2023 during the G20 summit in Delhi, India. So it was 19 countries and the African Union back in 1999 until 2022. And in 2023, so the whole G20 thing made sense back then, G20. And then when the African Union was admitted, was given permanent membership to the G20 in 2023 in Delhi, India, the name turns out is stuck. Now, if I was the African Union, I'd be going, shouldn't we change this thing to G21? Because I feel like I'm not counted in these statistics, especially as it relates to the name. But, the African Union just decided, you know what? I'm just going to drink my business and mind my water. Let's just go ahead and call it G20 until 2040. So, G20. What is the G20? Well, it's a fancy way of saying a group of 20 countries with advanced economies compared to a lot of developing countries like yours truly, Land of the Brave. The president, President Netumbo Nandi-Itwa attended the G20 on Ramaphosa's invitation. Because But, well, African Union,
technically we are.
Technically. So, this, now, as you can imagine, this discussion, this was a 2-day event from the 22nd to the 23rd of this month, of a lot of fully grown adults being petty about, well, what should be legitimate and what should not be. And here's my favorite part. Before the beginning of every G20, now you basically have to do what teachers like to call recap. What did we talk about last year? Now, because on every year, a declaration is adopted. Basically, this is a list of commitments coming out of that discussion for that particular year. Take this year, for example. They basically set deliberating on different issues for about 2 days. And then at the end of the day, they compiled a list of commitments and they basically how to solve some of these issues. Basically everything from, social issues, more like societal issues pertaining development and, services, especially in the public sector and the different respective countries. And then that's when I'm so proud of South Africa because a declaration that came out of that event was produced separately. As it should, as it has always been. And South Africa, you know, topping the list of economic unequal countries on the planet. Also, out of that event also, one of the most pressing topics, especially for countries like South Africa and Namibia, that is inequality. Turns out it's a global phenomenon. Now, two documents that came out of this. We're going to start with the declarations and just go through those ones. And then we're going to go to the economic inequalities because the whole of today's home run is based on the inequality report that came out of that event. Now, the inequality report, really details, a lot of things from the scale of inequality and how it's increasing. Basically, they're saying, what we have come to observe, of which, believe me, every broke and uneducated person have observed, is that the rich keeps getting filthy rich, but the poor keeps getting filthy poor. What is going on here? That's the question they try to answer in over 60 pages. Now, at this point, I'm thinking, did they really need 60 pages? That's a lot of secretary work. They could have just asked me. I would have saved them a lot of pages and ink. Shareholders. There you go. Problem solved. Shareholder regulations must be a thing. If you ask me, as long as we are going to have these discussions under the assumption that every shareholder has humanity in mind, like we wouldn't do the exact same thing this shareholder, especially of these multinational corporations, are doing if we were in their position. I'm telling you, 90% of us would be the same greedy human beings. Sorry, Craig, in advance. Would be the same greedy human beings that they are. 90% of us, we would be doing the exact same thing that they are doing. Why? Well, back then, a couple of hundred years ago, the Knight Templars found a very interesting, call it a moral justification. According to their definition of morality, moral justification of why they should hoard resources for their own personal gain, irrespective of whose throat they tremble over to get that resources. And that's no risk, no reward. No risk, no reward. Knight Templars, came up with that. I think if they didn't adopt it from somewhere, but it's more often that phrase of no risk, no reward is more often attributed to the Knight Templars. But no risk, no reward. Shareholders carry the risk of every investment they do, and sometimes they lose a lot of money. Shell, for example, in one of their exploration wells that they were exploring, an offshore Namibian oil industry, they poured millions, if not billions, of dollars in that investment, and only for them to find out that, this well, unfortunately, we have to cut our losses because it doesn't have any economic viability. Now, picture this. You have invested millions and billions of dollars in an investment, and then the investment or that industry or that sector goes belly up, and you lose all your money. Now, that's the part, that's actually the part where Dwight would go like, oh, let me correct you there. And he would be right. It turns out, that money is insured. Now that's something I didn't know. So that's why I keep coming back to shareholders. Shareholder regulation must be a thing. If shareholder regulation is not a thing, it's inherent. Look, it's for the same reason we lock our houses. It's not that we don't try, why do we lock our houses and our cars and all that? Which living organism are we most afraid of? Human beings. Not cats, not dogs, not monkeys, not even hyenas getting in your car. That's the least of your worry. It's when your fellow human being get in your car that you left unlocked. That's when you should worry. Like, if a cheetah finds itself in your house after leaving it open, it's going to cause a lot of chaos, but that's mostly because it feels threatened. It feels, well, I have to fight or I'm going to die. More often that's the case because, if you walk in the kitchen and see pots and you are meat, well, you can put two and two together on that one. But more often, animals, especially wild animals, attack when they feel threatened. Minus killer whales. Not those ones, sometimes they just attack for fun. They just go bananas. Now, here's the thing. Inequality. Let's put a pause on that one. And then we'll dive more on that one. On the other side of more of a summary of what it was declared, or more like the commitments agreed upon by member states. I don't know why they like to use this verbosity type of English. Pardon moi, that's just a little hiccup. I'm still alive and kicking. So where there are declarations, because they have a list of them, because at every event, event of this type, like the G20s, for example, the previous declaration must be looked at, and then they sit and then deliberate on a lot of issues, including the previous discussions, and then they compiled another declaration again. And next year, for example, when they meet in Florida, guess what's one of those things that they are going to be referencing? Look at it as precedents that they are going to be basing the entire G20 2026 summit on. This year's declaration. The one that was held in South Africa. One that some people did not want to attend. For purely political reasons, I may argue. Right. Technology, check. So the G20 South Africa Summit, we the leaders, that's how it all starts. I know. We the leaders of the G20 who gathered in Johannesburg, South Africa for this historic first summit on the African continent. Yeah, that's one thing I almost forgot. It was the first of its kind. On the continent under South Africa, under South African G20 presidency, on the 23rd November 2025, addressed major global challenges, discussed ways to promote solidarity, equality, and sustainability as key pillars of inclusive growth. There are so many things wrong with that sentence. And the sentence itself, don't get me wrong, it's perfectly fine. It's just that the quote-unquote leaders behind the sentence don't mean any of that. First of all, the US and South Africa spend the whole duration of the summit titting for tatting. And then, well, unsurprising, that didn't shock me at all, Argentina joined the you know, the protest of South Africa hosting the G20 summit. Of course, it's going to listen to the US, and then the US is going to listen to Israel. That's how it works. US, UK, Australia, all the, basically the entire Western world is going to listen to Israel. Now, the entire Western Europe is going to listen to America. And if you don't listen to any of that, then you are either a radical Islam, and either you are, I mean, call it a terrorist, you know, deranged, and you need, you know, you're an anti-Semite. They're going to give you a lot of names. Don't worry, none of that is really important. It's it has nothing to do with that. It's just one of those things that you find in a lot of toxic intimate relationships of, if I can't have you, no one will. That's basically geopolitics 101. It's very petty. Except the difference is, geopolitics, the people being petty have gray hair. Which is nuts. I'm sorry, I really tried to find a very diplomatic word for that. But it's nuts. The people being petty have gray hair. And these are the people, by the way, unfortunately, we rely on to solve global problems. These guys are millionaires. They don't remember when last, you know, when the last member of their family was broke. But they are gathering to discuss poverty. Look, this is just the comedian part of me coming out, but let's put that guy back. Look, it's just ironic. That's what I'm trying to point out. Picture a bunch of Kavangos having a conference to discuss Oshiwambo tradition. Every Oshiwambo speaker will be like, are you guys high? But for some reason, we can all recognize that stupidity. But when it comes to solving global problems, we want a bunch of guys that have never been rich in the last 500 years. And we just respect them to gather and help us solve our problems. Don't get me wrong. They have the financial power to do that. And again, even if you and I were in their position, we would not do things for charity. Let's not kid ourselves. It's very easy to tell yourself right now that, well, if I was in that position, I'll be doing this and this. And that's very easy to say. Now, this is not to say that there wouldn't be someone who'd be able to pull that off. They would. I mean, you have especially now a lot of you have a lot of historical figures that are basically given up their wealth to the poor, and then went on a spiritual awakening journey. And Marcus Aurelius, the founder of Stoicism, is one of those people. You know, for just a royal guy who was tired of being rich someday, and then decided, you know what, I want to be broke. Gave away all his money, gave away all his wealth, and then started pointing out things like, a Stoic must be well content with the little he has. You can imagine all his homies that he was chilling with when he was wrong, when he started talking like that. They were all going, right. Did he smoke that Jamaican thing again? Oh dear. And just give him a couple of hours. He's going to be fine. So, the rich guys have the financial power to address a lot of social problems. Not all of them, believe me, not all of them. Just some of them. The majority, by far. There are some things you can't put a price on. Company being one of them. this is why it's global and it's very standard. Take, for example, if you found out that, if you are from a wealthy family, for example, and you found out that the people around you that are chilling with you and acting like your friends, your father have been secretly paying them for them to be your friends, that will change the whole dynamic of your friendship. Because, it was supposed to be based on selfless act. You liking me, irrespective of her, you liking me or loving me for me, not my money. Ha! Yeah, right. Okay, first of all, I don't have the money. You don't, relax. That's just, All right, Homerun with Helm and Dwight. It's just a minute past the hour. Actually, it's 8 seconds and counting to the hour of 5. We're going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll continue on the other side. Stay tuned.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
And welcome back. Just a minute past the hour of 5. So we continue. We still have 59 minutes and I have a bunch of things to basically sift through. And we don't have a lot of time. Just remind me to breathe. Thank you very much. Because sometimes I have the tendency to forget that. So, the first pillar of their declaration, not the first pillar, more like what they're pointing out, the reason behind the gathering and the commitment, more like what the group believe must happen, what the group, seeks to achieve. Well, the G20 addressed major global challenges. Are there major global challenges? Of course they are. And they discussed ways to promote solidarity. There was no solidarity in that G20. Because, well, the guys, a bunch of people with gray hair were being petty about, where the event should be held, whether the declaration should be adopted, whether it should be rendered useless. So that, because, your voices, we're all members, but your voices are nice, but they're not that relevant to any, global, things of, call it, global concern. Unless it's coming from me type of mentality. Growing up when you are playing soccer and you have that kid that comes from a family where the parents can afford, where the parents can afford Poloni, and then they come with their own ball, and now you have to, then they start setting up rules that are non-existent in this, in the sport of football. Where they start saying that, if my side of the team is losing, then it's game over. And, I'm the referee, the coach, the manager, the founder of this club, by the way. And, it's either we are winning or it's game over type of this again. Like, I don't think there is a perfect description of what geopolitics is. Every time you are thinking about geopolitics, picture growing up next to that kid that always showed up to the, to the soccer field with a ball. And they made a lot of ridiculous rules that are non-existent in the realm of sports. So everything must benefit him. If they are losing, it's game over. If your defender tackles him and he fails to score, game over. In other words, when he's about to score, if you want the game to go on, you're supposed to give him a leeway. Yeah, you know, just to let his, to please him. That's geopolitics 101. Every time, don't think about, Mearsheimer and Pepe and Norman Finkelstein type of geopolitical analysis. Don't think about it like that. That's too complicated. Just think of geopolitics as, every time you are looking at a geopolitical discussion, picture it, go back to your childhood. Unless you are one of those kids, then congratulations, you are the Donald Trump in this G20 summit 2025. That's how you should picture it. Picture that kid that always had a ball. And they made up rules that are not found in soccer. Rules that could only benefit them if you wanted the match to go on. That is geopolitics 101. So this discussion, the thing is, I'm wrong. There was solidarity. That's why the event took place. Because even though the U.S. decided not to, the U.S. president decided not to attend. Basically, the U.S. had been against the whole event for a while now. Other member states just decided to say, well, you know what, whatever beef you have with South Africa, that's on you. We are going to attend this event. You can have your beef. That's like your parents going through a divorce and one of them is telling you, that the other is the bad guy. So you just sit them down and tell them, mom, dad, I'm going to visit both of you. Why you hate him and why you hate her is none of my business. I love you both and I'm going to visit both of you equally. Capisce? Thank you. So you have a lot of, now you have member states. This is a group of 19 countries. They just showed up. They're like, okay, you know what, South Africa, US, we don't care what your problem is. We don't care what political tensions you two have. The bottom line is, we're going to attend this event. And they showed up and then they, US switched from fighting the event from taking place to fighting the declaration from being adopted. And then the event took place, the declaration was adopted. So it was a win-win for South Africa in a lot of ways. How the next one is going to go now in the 2026 G20 summit. I'm looking forward to November 2026. So that I'll be, because I'll make sure I have this declaration with me and start going, okay, so let's see how this is going. Whether it's going to be referenced or we are going to just, kick everything aside and start saying, you know what, forget all this. We're just going to, make up our own. So they discussed ways to promote solidarity, equality. Equality, in theory, yeah. Very much. Because inequality is one of those, it's basically an entire over 60 page report that came out of this discussion. And sustainability as key pillar of inclusive growth. Okay, this is the language now that I actually have a problem with when it comes to discussions like this. Empires don't do inclusivity. The British Empire didn't, the Portuguese didn't, the Spanish didn't, the Greeks didn't, the Romans didn't, the Babylonians didn't. Empires, unfortunately, is about stifling growth around you so that no one, so that the people that are, take for example, the countries that are developing, they have domestic and foreign policies that are in line with the imperial agenda. Otherwise, you are not going to see growth. The easiest example of this would be the Middle East. Now, if you look at countries like Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, and all those countries that have, you throw in Yemen, Syria, in that, these are war-torn countries. And then you look in the same region, you have the UAE and Saudi Arabia, and you have the Kuwait. And these countries are economic giants, economic prosperity check. The only difference between this is the same region. The only difference between countries that are economically prosperous in this region and those ones that are economically, dumbed down because it's on purpose. The only difference is, take Iran and the Qatari, for example. When Israel bombs Iran, Iran bombs back. That's Iran. The Iran is like, look, if you're going to punch me, I'm going to punch you back. Now, that's a problem. You see, you are not supposed to punch back. Because, just a couple of explosives blew up in the middle of, in the middle of Qatar. And everyone's like, all right, let's see if Qatar is going to retaliate. They didn't. Now you know why geopolitics is very beautiful to observe. Because, for me, it reveals the very, the inherent, power hungry or more like control freakiness of mankind. It doesn't change. Whether you're looking at it from a family level or an intimate level, you'll more often run into people that are just control freaks, where like if they can't control you, you become a threat. In other words, they just smear your name with some gossip. We see this in society. You ask someone out, they say no, what do you do? You start spreading gossip about them. You start spreading rumors about them. You compete with someone on something and you lose, aka Miss Namibia contest. What do you do? You start being petty about a lot of things, most of which are based on just false accusations. It's human nature, unfortunately. So next time you run into a person that asks you out and you tell them no and they leave you alone, you are looking at a very rare gem. Because, well, a lot of them will start telling you things like, if I can have you, no one will. Type of mentality. That's the case when it comes to geopolitics. That's why you have a lot of proxy wars now. And pretty much the same thing that you have going on in a lot of countries. Everything proxy wars is one of those things of, if I can't have you, no one will. If you are not on my side, I'm just gonna bomb the heck out of you. Yeah. You can try to fight and fix it, but unfortunately, the problem is not politics. The problem is politicians. It's always a human element that's flawed. So, for the first time in G20 history, forget all that. Okay, fine. The most important part is that's the foundation. For the first time G20 leaders have convened in South Africa, convened in Africa in the spirit of Ubuntu. I blame ChatGPT for some of these things. But anyway, we recognize that individual nations cannot thrive in isolation. That part is true. The African philosophy of Ubuntu. Oh, Jesus Christ. I knew that was going to come and bite. Oh, yeah. Don't worry. It's still coming. Of Ubuntu often translates as I am because we are. Emphasizes the interconnectedness of individuals within borders and, communal, societal, economical, environmental contexts. We understand our interconnectedness. Do we now? This is the event is taking place in South Africa. Xenophobia, check. Now, you have, this event is being hosted by, you see, that's why I like to look at this from a human element. Some of the worst cases of xenophobia attack comes out of South Africa. Yeah. But, you see, that's us in reality. But in theory, this is us. Ubuntu, you are because I am. But if you cross the border and get in my country, I'm going to kill you. But we're brothers. What? If the best way for you to express your love to your brother is by killing them, I don't want to be your relative. I'll keep a safe distance. Thank you. I just like words. It's an addiction. Call it that. So, we understand the interconnectedness as a global community of nations and reaffirm our commitment to assure that no one is left behind. That's fantasy. Look, forgive me. I'm here to be brutally honest. That's fantasy. We have a commercial break coming up. But don't worry. We're gonna just have one more point and then we get to the inequality part. That's why I want to start with Ubuntu.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste. That gives you that refreshing first. Only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
And welcome back. So, where were we? We understand our interconnectedness as a global community of nations and reaffirm our commitment to ensure that no one is left behind through multilateral cooperations. Now, the fact that 18 countries showed up, one of them decided to bank out a couple of minutes late, a couple of hours late, I think. It shows to me that the majority of the countries, especially those ones coming from a lot of developing countries, they are willing to work together to get each other out of this poverty dilemma. But that's not a dilemma. That's just conundrum. Yeah, that would be the right word to use. So, you have a lot of developing countries that are willing to work together, which is why I think one of those reasons why I really appreciate the South-to-South cooperation discussion, the developmental discussion, developmental initiative that is just tailored, both in discussion and implementation based only on developed countries. Because I feel like they understand each other's needs more. Like, as a developing country, you know what you need because there are certain things that you need that you just look at developed countries and go like, nah, they won't understand. And imagine going to a place like Switzerland, then you meet someone and tell them, no, where I'm from, we don't have electricity. And they'll be like, huh? Are you sure? How do you live? Easy, by breathing. You know you can breathe without electricity, right? Unless your nose are connected to some kind of electric appliance, then when the power grid goes off, you're cooked. So, interconnectedness. Our commitment to ensure that no one is left behind through multilateral cooperations, macro policy coordinations, global partnership for sustainable development, and solidarity. Yeah. As if that was ever achieved in politics. Global solidarity. I want you to look up how the Chinese had to fight tooth and nail to get their currency to be recognized on an international stage. Just look at that. Then you'll understand. Like, these guys had to bring together some of their best economic minds. Because there are certain things that, international law will not help you on. You will have to think outside the box. Not picking a gun and start shooting people like Sudan. That's just a whole type of discussion. And I'm thinking of bringing that up more like, as a whole topic. But I don't want to look at it from the point of... of all the, live streamed genocide that's been taking place. But, how this year, somewhere around July, basically, the international community failed Sudan massively. But that's a discussion for another day. So, Point. So now, I want you to put a few pins on a few things. One of them being the spirit of Ubuntu, that was heavily emphasized in the second point of that declaration. We meet against this backdrop of Ubuntu and global cohesiveness that we would like to achieve. You know, we just want to go for one giant ecumenical hug. You do realize you are talking about human beings, right? But what we are looking at here is that if the majority are willing to come together, then we have done half the job. So, which is, it's a very positive way of looking at, that's a positive way that I'm looking at. Not everyone is going to come together in this giant ecumenical hug. Definitely not. Take your family, for example. Not everyone in your family likes you, and you don't like everyone in your family. Now, imagine on a global stage. Of course, a bunch of people will start hating each other. That's not new. That's called humanity. Except being petty with gray hair is just nuts. That one is still not. No. We meet against this backdrop. Rising geopolitical and geoeconomical competition, instability, heightened conflicts, and war happening in deepening inequality. Now that is our transition from the declaration to the inequality report. But let's just look at that first. We meet against the backdrop of rising geopolitical and geoeconomical competition and instability, and that the missing word there is cutthroat competition, because in other words, if you bring into my market a device more like a type of if you bring into my market a product that is competing with that I can't compete with, I'll ban it. I'm looking at the whole Starlink discussion taking place, especially in Namibia and South Africa, and people are like, just bring it here. And okay, here's the thing. I totally understand why leaders in both countries, take for example Namibia and South Africa, are reluctant to adopt, adopt the internet service provider giant like Starlink, because they know that is a multinational corporation. And one thing that multinational corporations are known for is evading taxes. Taxes that your local internet service providers are paying, and which is very difficult for them to evade. And even if they did, it would be very easy for the local legislations to basically hold them accountable. Multinational corp, for example, are you familiar with, Irish something with a Dutch sandwich? That is a tax evading strategy that was employed for a very long time by multinational corporations up until it was revealed during the Panama Papers. That's when it's believed to have been abandoned, but global economic analysts basically believe that there are a lot of strategies like this. There are a lot of tax evading strategies like this that are used by a lot of multinational corporations. It's very easy to hold, it's very easy for the Namibian legal system to hold Helmut accountable. But Elon Musk? We're talking about the richest men on earth. That's also another lie. Yeah. No. Yeah, okay, according to Forbes list, yes, he is. But you won't be shocked to find out if you haven't already that there are people that are so rich they are paying Forbes not to include them on their list. That's how rich. And then you have the global recognized ones. Now one of the richest person, at least that is known by basically the whole world, including Elon Musk, watch Elon Musk's interview on Putin. That was Elon Musk saying, I don't know how rich that guy is, but I'm suspecting he's way richer than me. That's when I was like, huh? Okay. Did not see that coming. That I didn't see coming. So, let's wrap that up. and then transition. Now, in the face of challenging political and socio-economic environment, we underscore our belief in multilateral cooperations to collectively address shared challenges. Do we now? That's just human, you know, shall we? We note with distress the immense human suffering and diverse impact of wars and conflict around the world. I haven't followed up on them in a while, but the Commission of Inquiries, or is it Makantla Commission, or what I like to call the Matangara Commission, have been going on for a while now in South Africa, where a bunch of already very rich people gathered together to steal 2 point something billion from one hospital. One hospital. A bunch of guys, already rich, stole money, literal life-saving medication money, so they can buy fancy cars. It's humanity 101. This is not a white people thing. This is not a Chinese thing. This is not a Muslim person thing. This is not a Christian thing. This is not a Jewish thing. It's a humanity thing. Human beings, look, as long as that living organism has 32 teeth, 2 legs, 2 arms, 5 fingers, it's greedy. So when you run into someone that's not greedy, appreciate them, because those people are very few. You have to understand the economic implication, or more like the moral questions that arise from this. People died due to lack of medication in the hospital, so you can buy a blue Lamborghini. You don't need a car. No, you want a specific sports car. By the way, not one, 3 of them in the same color. In other words, I don't care who dies. I just want to live to the height of the most luxurious lifestyle I can afford. That took place in South Africa. That was before the G20 summit. And then they came to the G20 summit. They adopted, declarations like this. Human suffering and adverse impacts of war, conflicts around the world. Yeah, that's nice. Really nice. You see, these are the parts of me that makes me agree. I mean, this is one of those things that makes me agree with George Carlin. When it comes to how to look at more like global problems, especially social problems. 90% of the people, that's the most sad part. 90% of the people that are poor and complaining about how the top 1% in terms of economic value are hoarding all the resources for themselves. 90% of the people that are poor, if you put them in the position that these rich people are, they'll be doing the exact same thing. 90% of them would be doing the exact same thing, if not worse. Unfortunately. I'm not saying lose hope in humanity. Actually, that's why we developed laws, is because we don't trust us. That's why we developed laws. That's why we have police and military and all this. We don't trust us. Nope. The living organism that a human being has the biggest trust issue with is another living organism called a human being. Not a hyena. Not a cheetah. But unless this is a cheetah with 2 legs, or 3, and speaks fancy English. So, one other document now that came out of that is the G20 Extraordinary Committee of G20 Extraordinary Committee of Independent Experts on Global Inequality. global inequality. So we're going to take a break, and on the other side of the break, we are looking run through of the scale of inequality, why it's important to have this inequality discussion, and some of the drivers of economic inequality. Some of the drivers of the ever increasing levels of inequality the world over. How many pages is this thing? 69. All they needed was one. But don't worry, I'm gonna run you through it. It's my job anyway. Home run with Helmut on Eagle FM.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vindhuk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vindhuk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vindhuk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutete ofoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back. We continue. So, okay. Inequality. Let's go for inequality. Unfortunately for you and me, it's something that we just have to look at and start going. Okay. Because you have to understand, Namibia and South Africa, we're very good at this whole inequality thing, especially the economic inequality. First we're going to start with the scales, the projections coming out of the independent group of experts that compiled this whole thing, or so they say. And then why it's important to have this discussion, because of some of some of the unintended consequences that, especially social wise, that are brought about in a society by economic inequality mostly. Now, where were we? Right here. Some facts on inequality. Nationally, 83% of countries have high income inequality, using the World Bank definition of high inequality as a Gini coefficient of above 0.4. These countries account for 90% of the world population. Translation, a bunch of countries have a bunch of people that are filthy rich and a bunch of people that are filthy poor. In other words, the resources are not the problem. It's just that people are terrible at sharing. The resources are enough. Sharing. That's where the problem is. Yeah. The resources is not a problem. The problem is the human element. There's one American economist who said that if you put the federal, the federal government in charge of the Sahara Desert, in less than 2 or 3 years, they will tell you that we have a shortage of sand. That's when I was like, oh. That's actually true. First, how do you tell people you have a shortage of sand? Very easy. The best way to manipulate people is to redefine terms. Take any any institution that's built on inequality have been largely based on redefining terms. When Europeans wanted to expand into Africa for cheap, point of correction, for free labor, aka, for free labor, aka, slavery, they first have to redefine what a human being is to suit the narrative that they wanted to push for their own agenda that they wanted to accomplish at the end of the day. What did they want? They had a bunch of plantations which needed a lot of workforce. And now they could have paid for the workforce, but well, a bunch of guys that owned all the means of production started going, no, actually we want free labor. Now, we can't get that from a bunch of white guys because, well, then what would that mean? Like what would that make us? Yes. Sail across the planet and then get people from there, and when we will bring them here, we will tell a bunch of white people we did not give jobs to that well, these people that we brought, the people that are not white like you, these ones are they are less human, which is why they can work without pay. When you work for us, we're going to give you pay. But when these ones are working for us, we can't pay them because they are not worthy. They are not human. And that is how basically skin color based racism was born by an idiot called Gomes de Zurara. 1400s Portugal. Yeah. Just look up something called the Doctrines of Discovery. You're welcome. Now, so redefining terms. So even if you put any government in charge of the Sahara Desert, they will tell you in a short period of time that, well, we have a shortage of sand. So not surprised there. So we have resources on this planet. We have enough resources for everyone. We have enough land for everyone, by the way. We have enough land for everyone. But. Someone is sitting with 500 hectares just for him. So they can go game hunting and other white people activity things like, that one guy I follow on social media ARNR, all risk, no rewards type of activities. Now this activity, according to my favorite TikTok guy, is, the all risk, no rewards activities are not for any type of people. They are only for professional white people. Not any person, no, just white people. Not all white people, no, professional white people. So the trends on inequality, conducting a comprehensive assessment of inequality globally is made more difficult by gaps in data. That doesn't shock me. It doesn't. Because data gathering requires access. If you don't have a road that leads to the village, how are you going to count the people that are in that village? Bottom line, you can't. Like, this guy like to complicate things now. As well as offering definitions and measures, as well as differing definition of what inequality is, depending on one, I don't know, per region. Now, in addition, there are concerns about quality and reliability of some of the available data. Well, here's the thing. One of the most important thing about home is that the reason why the environment at home, whether for your spouse or for your kids, I totally understand why the environment at home must be made as conducive as possible. Because if, you know, usually when it's raining and you're outside and you're just out there chilling, at the end of the day, let's just leave rain aside. At the end of the day, for those of us without kamborotos, where do we go at the end of the day? Home. Is where we go to unwind. It was a crazy day at work. I just need to take a shower, have a light meal depending on how late it is, and then I can just sink in my bed in comfort. Home signifies security. The problem is, when there is a lot of insecurity at home, it causes a lot of mental chaos. I totally understand that now. When someone beats you, and we see this as a kid, when someone runs into you and they beat the heck out of you, where do you run to? Home. Now, the thing is, when people at home, when home is insecure, where do you run to? Yeah, that's every immigrant's problem. That's every immigrant's question. More like a philosophical dilemma. Like, where do you run to? I think that's one of those reasons that makes me, look at and give people that have left their countries somewhat a very high degree of respect, because I know you and I that find, let's just look at this from this angle. You and I that finds ourselves in an urban area, we didn't just wake up one day and decided, you know what, I'm tired of seeing my mom every day and being with my family every day. I'm tired of these people. I'll just go in Windhoek and then suffer with all the rent and water, electricity bills and tura boys and all that, because that's fun. No! You were here because there was a situation at home that put you into a corner. Now, that's just you. Imagine someone that had to leave their country. Imagine the pressure, the mental pressure that puts on you. I can only imagine, because all I had to leave was my region. I didn't leave my country. All I had to leave is my region. And I'm already going, yo, this is a lot of pressure. And then I always look at, more often when I run into foreigners, and I have some of them as my friends, I look at them and I go, my God, you're strong, because I think I would have died by now. If I were you, I would have died by now. Because, boy, that must be rough. So, how did we end up there? Some of the data being provided on inequality are questionable. Now, if you don't have global access in terms of information sharing, because, well, you are at the receiving end of the terrible economic system in your country, yeah, no one is going to count you. Well, because there is a barrier here. If there is abuse at home, take for example, this is why I think domestic violence is also one giant problem, because when a person is hit at home, who is supposed to report those people missing? Take for example, when a person goes missing at home, when a kid, take for example, let's just take the most innocent of our society and defenseless. When a child is missing at home, who is supposed to report them missing? The parents or the guardians? But if the parents and the guardians are the reason they are missing, you have one big problem. No one is going to report them missing. Factor any, economic inequality in that. Adding to the complexity, the different experience in different countries and regions over different time periods, despite this innovative work by researchers around the world using various databases, enables us to identify some broad patterns and trends. Now, what we are looking at here is inequality. Wealth inequality is much more concentrated than income inequality. Yeah. Wealth inequality is much more concentrated than income inequality. Even where income inequality has not increased, in some cases, actually decreased, wealth inequality remains high. Wealth inequality have a forward momentum as a compound interest increase fortunes. And that's a lot of, economic jargons. Bottom line. Let's just keep bringing all this to very simple way of, define terms. All across major regions, private wealth has grown in the past two decades. Private wealth. The rich are getting richer. The poor are getting poorer. In the past two decades, it has grown. Now, sometimes quite sharply. Take during COVID-19 pandemic, for example. You see on the lower end of the economic spectrum. If you just go back to the economic chaos that ensued following the COVID-19 pandemic, and the lockdowns thereafter, you saw a lot of people that lost their jobs and lost their livelihood and they lost their lives. And then when you look at the top of the global economic spectrum, and you saw people that were raking in billions. Yeah. One man's loss is another man's gain. I think I need to start a coffin making company with that logo. But people will call me a witch, so I'm good being called broke. Being a witch, I don't want to go there. And worse, I'm from Gavango. Yeah, no, I mean, people will start taking it serious. COVID-19 pandemic is another very simple example. And this is the same thing that you see in war-torn areas. You have people that are at the front line, and you have people that lose their livelihood because they can't conduct business in the same way that they would in a peaceful country. You have the people that lose their jobs, and you have because the companies they work into, the headquarter was bombed, and it's also not safe to go to work. That's every war zone. And even in that very same country, if you look at the economic elite in a war-torn country, they are getting richer by the day. Welcome to planet Earth. Now, the consequences of economic inequality. What are some of the consequences of economic inequality? Oh, easy. Political stability is one of those things that go out through the window, because the more desperate people become, the more desperate they are willing to do, the more risk they are willing to take, the more desperate things they are willing to do in order to make make ends meet. And you have, now crime statistics can also easily be factored into that. Inequality, particularly in the extremes, has many negative economic, political, and societal outcomes, according to the report, each interacting in ways that exacerbates the adverse effects. The lack of income has obvious adverse effects on people. They experience hunger and may receive inadequate health care. Their children may be malnourished. Tembisa Hospital, this one I'm just going to see, may be malnourished. People died so that someone can afford a Lamborghini. Actually, three of them. I know. Human nature. Just humanity is unfortunately. And actually, that's a very sad reality to admit. But before we continue with that, let's take a live read. 2026 Vilvicha University applications are now open. New programs. Faculty of Health Science. Master of Public Health, Level 9, Mode of Delivery, Distance, Areas of Specialization, Maternal Child Health, Public Health Nutrition, Mental Health and Well-being, Food Safety Management Systems, Sustainable Solid Waste Management, Innovative Approaches in Pharmaceutical, Public Health, Drug Regulations, Child Protection and Adolescent Health, Violence Prevention and Intervention. Application fee is $250. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Vilvicha University, where everyone is an achiever.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. We have 10 minutes left before I say goodbye, but let's wrap it up now, shall we? There are also adverse consequences of overall performance of the economy because, well, money needs to go around. Now, that one I actually found very fascinating because it's actually very, very, very true. The more all the resources is concentrated at the top, where do most rich people keep their money? And this is true for all countries, including developed ones. They are stashed in offshore havens. That means the money being stolen is not even circulating in that country. It's leaving the country. That has two negative consequences. Negative consequence number one, the money, which was supposed to be channeled to social and developmental projects, is now gone in someone's pocket. So those social programs, those developmental projects, they are on a standstill or they are going very sluggishly, cause contributing, skyrocketing the inequality and poverty stats. And consequence number two, there's not enough money now to circulate in the economy in order to basically keep the economy running. Now, I know if you read the history of dictators, every time a dictator is toppled, two things are very true. One, when that happens, they are filthy rich. Two, they run out of the country. Why? Well, easy. For one, they have been also doing what? Buying property outside the country. So, every time I hear someone saying, well, the reason we are broke is because of colonialism. Yes, that's true. That is true. The reason why Africa is broke is because of colonialism. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Partly. But let's face the elephant in the room here. We are, in one way or another, contributing to our own sluggish developmental projects because, well, we keep prioritizing self instead of Ubuntu. Now, Ubuntu is on paper, Baba, but they by reality, I want to drive a Range Rover, Baba. I'll just chop the money and then forget the agricultural project that money was supposed to fund somewhere in Ubuntu. Yeah, so. Now, drivers of inequality. There are two overall factors underlying most existing inequalities. First is the distribution of market income. Policies which change this distribution are referred to as pre-distribution policies. Potato, potato. Same WhatsApp group. Market incomes are determined by two factors. Why? Distribution of assets ownership, not just financial assets, but skills and social networks. Social capital that are critical in boosting workers' wages. In other words, when you steal money and take it out of the country, you don't have enough money to circulate in the country. And at the end of the day, what do you have? An economy that is going down in downward spiral. The end of the day, now you have less buying power of the people in the country, and then less paying power of the employers of those people in the country. And well, guess what? And you know what's the dumbest thing? The very same people that steal money and then take it out of the country, they want to start businesses in these very countries where there's not enough money circulating. I'm telling you, human beings, kids, if you're ever in the class and your teacher asks you to name, you know, the dumbest living organism on the planet, please, I'm begging you in the name of anything that is holy, under and over the sun, say human beings. That's us. We're really dumb. We're really dumb. At some point during the Mugabe era in Zimbabwe, there's one child, I think, of one of the influential figures of the Mugabe era, who went, I don't know where he, whether that was Germany or France, and then bought himself a Bugatti Veyron. I think it was a Veyron at the time. And when he got in Zim, he started complaining that his the roads were not good enough for his car. And everyone started telling him, the reason why that road is still broken down is you used the money to buy the car, you idiot. That's still one of my favorite stories coming out of the Mugabe regime in Zimbabwe. But look, that's before you start saying, oh no, you know, Africa is just, that's one thing about Africa. Africa is full of corruption. Oh, let me catch you up. It's the world over. That's why I like to say it's not a skin color problem. It's a humanity problem. It's a greed problem. It's a selfishness problem. That's what inequality is. And just at the top of that list, shareholders. I'll just keep throwing you guys under the bus. And one of the biggest problems for economic inequality is that it contributes to poverty heavily. It contributes to poverty heavily. When people are poor, they are desperate. When they are desperate, more often they become criminals. So every time that you do criminal statistics, remind yourself that poverty has one of these things to do. Now, here's one thing I don't understand about, this whole, let's just go there and steal something. Well, quick question. Why are you robbing Helmut? Really? You think you're gonna get something? Here's the thing. You are tired of being broke. You've run into Helmut and then rob him. Congratulations. You have just made take, for example, depending on how much, whether he has his electronic devices or not, you have $1,000. And then you sell that stuff and then you get yourself $1,000. And then your first, the first thing that you are spending this money on is crack. That's also the dumbest thing about the poorest of the poor. Like, look, when you rob someone, I'm not saying it's not a career advice, but if you did and you made some money and you spend it on something that is productive, like buying food for your family, for example, Father of the Year, ladies and gentlemen, please find a different source of income, because robbing people to feed your family, one day you're going to get shot and then there'll be no one to feed your family. That's why I'm saying it's a very dumb. That's why I'm saying it's not career advice. I think it was this weekend. I read a story of a taxi driver, a poor taxi driver, that is alleged to have attempted to rob this individual that shot him. Here's the thing. Now, if your main goal, if your main source of income is robbing people, even if you have some of the most noble, assuming there is such a thing, noble excuse of being a robber. You rob someone, you feed your family, and then you run out of things to feed them, you go out and rob them again. Inside that very stupid heart of yours, you are telling yourself, I'm doing this because I don't have any other choice. Otherwise, my family will starve. I have one question. What happens when you get shot? Because then your family is literally going to starve. Like really, they are going to starve because you're not going to be in the picture. Like, which is why I'm saying it's a damn economic initiative. one that I would not recommend. Why? Well, for one, I'm a Christian. I love our Lord and Savior, but I don't want to meet him sooner than he intended me to. Nope. Ew. So. I know. One. The second problem, or more like that, was pointed out or seen to be exacerbating economic inequality is taxes transfer. For example, progressive taxation of income that reduces inequality of income in the labor market. No one is talking about shareholder here, is there? Oh no, I went through the whole. No one is going to talk about.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back. So the time is 6 o'clock on the dot. Before I hand you guys over in the hands of business and economic segment, that's with David Shombe. Let me just wrap up my report, and then I'm out of here before David, murders me. Conclusion that they reached when it comes to economic inequality: a group of independent experts. Listen to very educated independent experts. They reached the following conclusion on page 44. Now, let me point to you something that's made me from the beginning start saying things like, they didn't need over 60 pages and they didn't need a group of experts of researchers to basically come out with this report. All they just needed was a call Eagle FM and ask for Helmut Mahongo. I would have given them this report in one page. Conclusion. The world faces an inequality crisis. Yeah, no kidding. You don't say. I didn't see that. Poverty amidst plenty. No, the English is awesome, which is why I added it to my poster. Unbridled wealth at the top amidst hunger at the bottom. You need a research for that? Look, I'm not saying they didn't do a great job, but you don't need a research for that. And definitely you don't need experts. Everyone with eyes can see that. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. Why? One word. Cutting cost. Everyone wants to cut cost so that they can maximize profit. Cutting cost to maximize profit. There is one very wonderful woman in the UK somewhere that literally wrote a book titled Vulture Capitalism, not Venture. Now that's a very corny way of describing venture capitalism, because if you want to understand what's wrong what's wrong with capitalism, look up venture capitalists. What they do is make money by any means necessary. When I say by any means necessary, I mean, irrespective of who we are going to leave dead or alive, we are making this money. Unfortunately, this is the part that makes me wish I was joking, but I'm not. So, Vulture Capitalism was written by Grace Blakely. I always struggle to pronounce the name of that lady. Now, corporate crimes, backdoor bailouts, and the death of freedom. Yeah. Vulture Capitalism. Now, in that book, she describes basically, she uses, one of the examples that she uses was two airlines that crashed in the same year. That was Ethiopian Airlines and Lion Air of Malaysia. The planes were both the same make and model. They were both Boeing 737 Maxes, of which, by the way, I'm also told Ethiopia ordered a bunch of them so they can use them. I'm pretty sure they corrected the angle of attack, you know, accident, more like software thingy that kept crashing those planes by sending them in a nosedive motion. You have to understand how many people had to die in these two plane crashes, one in Asia, one in Africa, because a shareholder somewhere at Boeing in the US wanted to cut costs that engineers needed to build this plane in the safest way possible. A shareholder somewhere cut costs, somewhere in the US, and then engineers at Boeing did not have enough money to build a plane that was safe. At the end of the day, Ethiopia and Malaysia bought 40 airplanes that led to the death of about 200 people per plane. That level of greed is the reason behind inequality. But for some reason, my report here is beating around the bush, Gini index, what Gini index? I'm wearing a pair of jeans. There's nothing wrong with my jean. That's a different, okay. We'll come back from mind the gap. They are talking about a different type of economic jargon. Biggest problem is, if you don't have regulations over, how shareholders maximize their profit, this is what you're going to end up with. Economic inequality. Check. Oh, by the way, ever increasing. So, at this point, when it comes to regulation-wise, because all these things go back to regulation, when it comes to regulation-wise, there are two main problems. One, some of the regulators own shares in some of these companies that are cutting costs to the point of literally risking lives of hundreds of people. They don't care. It's either they are shareholders of these companies or they are the campaign contributors of some of these lawmakers are coming from companies of that have this type of predatory, that practice, I call it predatory capitalism. Like cutthroat predatory capitalism. Now, before you start saying, oh, no, you know, we should adopt socialism because capitalism is bad. No, there's nothing wrong with capitalism. Whether you adopt socialism or capitalism or whatever ism, economic ism you want to adopt, the problem remains that two-legged, 32-teethed human being. That is the problem. So unless you basically figure out ways to regulate that two-legged, 32-teethed living organism, these problems will, especially, look, it's a very beautiful report. I just, from just my own non-expert point of view, and using the aid of, using the aid of Blakely, of that wonderful Madam Blakely lady, wonderful piece of work that she wrote. She was like, you know what? By the way, now you know she's just diving deep into it because that's a 400-page book. That's not a lot. But the point is, she does go deep into she's going deep into the reasons behind some of the most inequality problems that we're dealing with. And that's, regulation, multinational corporations going loose, which is why I'm saying, get Starlink in South Africa, get Starlink in Namibia. Excellent. And now, Starlink has a bunch of satellites across the planet, so they have unlimited coverage. You are going to have coverage you are going to have high speed internet in parts of the country. You can't have high speed internet provided to you by the local internet service providers. So the internet coverage is is unmatched when it comes to Starlink. Starlink is very good at that. Like, they are very good because they have a bunch, they have a lot of satellites, actually. They have a lot of them. That's why they have this, unmatched coverage. But you're going to get the internet. The internet is guaranteed. You're going to get that one. But then that's going to come with a trade-off. And all this is basically a decision that you have to make. It's not a one-size-fits-all. I'm not here to basically, poop on Starlink's party. Mm. The honest truth you have to tell yourself is this is going to come with pros and cons. You have to weigh them, because one or another, we are going to deal with the negative consequences on the other end. Which one you want to deal with is up to you. Because you are carrying out the action, the consequences are also coming to you. But anyway, that brings me to the end of my show for today. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM, from yours truly, Helmut. Y'all have a good one and stay blessed. Festive season, we are all excited to do a bunch of nothing and a bunch of dumb things. Just don't drink and drive. Be safe out there. Watch the road. It's a public road. Watch the road. And have fun responsibly so you can keep listening. We don't want you dying. Y'all have a good one now.